There's a moment most men in recovery eventually face. It usually doesn't come in the chaos, it comes when you least expect it. You've got the filters, you've got accountability, you've stacked up some sober days, maybe even some sober months, maybe even have the chips to prove your milestones, and yet, there's this unsettled feeling underneath all the work, all the striving, all the effort, that the pull hasn't completely died. Maybe it's not as profound as it used to be, maybe it's even more contained, but it's still there, and somewhere in the back of your mind is this question that many men are almost afraid to say out loud, and that is, why does this still have power over me? If that's a question you've ever asked or has ever crossed your mind, then today's conversation is for you. I want to walk you through and talk you through one of the most insightful pieces ever written on this subject, in my opinion, by Dr. Dallas Willard. And then I want to connect it directly to my transformational recovery matrix. The topic Dr. Willard covered so eloquently is beyond pornography. Why trying harder keeps failing. You'll find the link to his talk in the show notes. Now, what Willard saw decades ago explains with uncomfortable precision is why so many sincere, God-loving men keep finding themselves back in the same cycle. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey, welcome back to the Purity Podcast. This is episode 135. Man, it's been a hot minute, guys. I am so sorry it's taken me so long to record. It's been a while, but I'm grateful that you're back with me, and I'm super excited to talk about this article by Dr. Dallas Willard. This article and the subsequent link that I'm talking through, and you'll see that in the show notes, as I mentioned, is this piece by Dallas Willard. It's actually called Beyond Pornography, Spiritual Formation Studied in a Particular Case. Interesting title, but it's an awesome article and it's an awesome talk. And what he does in this presentation is he takes pornography not just as a moral issue, but as a case study in how people are spiritually formed. So his central point is this, that pornography use isn't random, and it's not just about lack of discipline. It grows out of a deeper structure in a person's life, what he calls vision, intention, and means. And he argues that desire itself isn't the enemy, but when desire is disconnected from what is good and true, it begins to take over the will. That's why so many men experience that internal conflict. I'm doing the very thing I hate. Willard then shows the real change, that real change doesn't come from trying harder at the behavioral level alone. It actually requires a reordering of how a person sees God, sees themselves, and understands what is actually good. From there, intention becomes honest and right, and the right practices, and things like confession, community, and resolute avoidance, those things actually begin to work. In other words, the article is less about stopping pornography and more about becoming the kind of person who no longer needs it. I love this so much because this is exactly what I like to say about the transformational recovery matrix, meaning the idea of recovery is not to be the man who is trying to stop a bad behavior, but rather become the type of man who is focused on becoming the man God has called him to be. So instead of being a man who is trying to stop something, I've become obsessed with who God has called me to be. Maybe it's easier said this way. I'm no longer focused on quitting. I'm focused on becoming. So for those of you who don't know, Dallas Willard was a philosopher, professor, and one of the most influential voices in Christian spiritual formation in the last century. He taught for decades at the University of Southern California, specializing in philosophy, but he's best known for helping ordinary believers understand how real transformation actually happens in the life of a disciple. He wrote extensively on what it means to follow Christ, not just in belief, but in lived experience, with books like The Divine Conspiracy, Renovation of the Heart, and Spirit of Disciplines. These have shaped pastors, counselors, and recovery communities all over the world. And what made Dr. Willard unique was that he refused to separate theology from practice. He didn't just ask what we believe, he pressed into who we are becoming. And that's why this framework of vision, intention, and means is so helpful in conversations like this one. He understood that behavior doesn't change in isolation. It changes when the whole person is being reformed. Now, he passed away in 2013, but man, his work continues to influence how many of us think about discipleship, recovery, and what it actually looks like to be transformed into the image of Christ. Dallas Willard once wrote that pornography presents us with a peculiarly vivid case of spiritual formation. Now, let me stop here. One thing you need to know about Willard is he ain't got no filler language in his writing. There's no fluff in between the dimes that he's dropping. Nope. This dude, like, he packs a punch with every sentence. So when he says that pornography presents us with a peculiarly, why is that word so hard to say, vivid case of spiritual formation, it's intentional. So don't miss what he's saying. What he's saying is that pornography is not primarily a behavior management problem. It's a formation problem. In other words, when a man repeatedly turns to pornography, what we are seeing is the visible fruit of invisible shaping that has been happening for years and sometimes decades. So desires have been trained, comfort pathways that have been carved, beliefs about God, about women, about self that have subtly taken root. And this is why so many men feel really confused in recovery, because they're trying to interrupt a behavior without addressing the formation underneath it. Let me give you this picture. I remember talking to a man a few years ago, a solid guy, loved the Lord, genuinely wanted freedom. And he told me, "I don't understand it. I keep pulling the weeds, but they keep coming back." That was exactly what he said. "Keep pulling the weeds, but they keep coming back." I asked him, "Tell me how you're pulling them." He said, "Well, when I feel the urge, I clamp down, I white knuckle, I distract myself, and I try to push through." In other words, he was cutting weeds out at ground level, but the roots were still healthy underground. That's the difference between behavior management and spiritual formation. One trims the symptoms, the other changes the soil. So look, the stakes aren't small here, and just some stats that I pulled from some different places on the interwebs. It says that as of 2025, the data continues to tell this sobering story that as of today, about 7 out of 10 men will engage with pornography at some level. And inside the church, it's not much different. Roughly 3 out of 4 Christian men report some level of struggle. Most of these guys aren't getting introduced to this in adulthood either. As you know, the average age of first exposure is around 11 to 12 years old. And in my experience, it's closer to 9 years old with the guys that I've talked to in my circles. So this isn't just a bad habit. It's something that's been forming in a man's thinking and desire patterns for years before he even knows what's happening. And here's what's really telling. About half the men using pornography will tell you they don't actually want that to be a part of their life, or they feel like it has more control over them than they'd like to admit. What we're dealing with is not a fringe issue. We're dealing with a formation pipeline that is discipling men long before they realize what's happening. So that's what brings us to Willard's framework. So let me slow this down for a second, because this is where really things start to click. Willard said that real transformation, not behavior management, not white knuckling, but actual transformation, it requires 3 things to line up: vision, intention, and means. Those are simple words, but don't let that fool you, because there's a lot to unpack with them. So in his VIM framework, vision is what you see as good and true. Intention is what you've decided you're going to pursue, and means is what you actually do to get there. And here's the key. Means are not about trying harder. They're about training wisely. And Willard says it this way about vision and intent. He says, so what is the V of pornography use? It is the vision of women, for simplicity's sake, as something to be used to stimulate and or gratify sexual feeling and desire. The I is the intent and decision to use sexual sensuality as a major source of gratification. Often this is supported by the view of oneself as deprived or hopelessly burdened. He says, the fact is that people engaged with the use of pornography have decided to be there and have not decided not to be there. I'm going to say that again. He says, the fact is that people engaged with the use of pornography have decided to be there and have not decided not to be there. But willpower alone will not solve the problem. He says, the vision must be right and appropriate means will have to be employed to extract oneself from pornographic use. So how do we realign this vim? How do we realign this? Well, Willard continues, the V must be replaced by a vision of women and oneself as creatures of God for His blessing, walking the hard path of life where they suffer afflictions and death, but by nature made for an eternity with God or under God. He says a similar change has to be made in the vision of oneself. He continues with, a right view of God and God's world would of itself break the grip of life of sexual sensuality. The work to be done here should be obvious, the transforming of the mind by the truth about God and His world. But one also has to come to grips with the fact that they do intend and decide to use pornography. Then the intention and decision not to use it must be formed. That will not be possible until the vision element is transformed along the lines suggested. It's then the correct intention and decision can be formed, because it's possible to deceive oneself about what really one really does intend. So one must be very careful and searching and honest in dealing with what one does and does not intend. That is a mouthful. You may need to pause and rewind that. He goes on with what they have and have not decided to do. The fact is that people engaged with the use of pornography have decided to be there and have not decided not to be there. He says, but willpower alone will not solve the problem. So he goes on with, the vision must be right and appropriate means will have to be employed to extract oneself from pornographic use. Now, among the primary means to deliverance is taking care to see pornography in all of its dimensions for what it really is. For many people, just to see the terrible degradation of others and oneself involved in pornography will strongly bolster their will to have no involvement with it. This is important. It is an application of the general truth that temptation of all kinds is defeated by, quote-unquote, broadening the view and looking at the solicitation in larger context of life and of God. Desire overpowers the will primarily by obsessing the mind. What many think they experience is inevitably, it depends entirely upon their failure to see things as they really are. So will, the human spirit, in its very nature, seeks alternatives and the best of alternatives. But when the person has conceded desire the right to rule, desire blinds the mind and appears to give the will no alternatives. He concludes with this, but with other means, they must be employed in most cases. Two of the most useful are openness to others and resolute avoidance of situations in which pornography can be indulged. No kidding. Anyway, as for openness, this may involve confession to appropriate persons in appropriate ways, sharing with others in the same difficulty, having a buddy or accountability system with a small group of others, not only necessarily in the same difficulty, but that allows you to meet and discuss regularly and then to call on others for prayer and support in the hard times. This is what Castamonia is all about. Those are my words, not his. Another measure, he says, that can be taken here is to kneel down publicly and pray out loud for deliverance from your temptation, perhaps in church. He says that Saint Benedict threw himself into a briar patch upon the occasion of salacious thoughts, and it seems to have done wonders for him. Now, at this point, one might say, are you serious? My answer would be, are you? So those are some of the quotes and some of the things he talks about in his vim. And here's what I want you to see. These words line up perfectly, almost perfectly, with the transformational recovery matrix. Not like kinda, not loosely. It's like almost exactly, because what the matrix is doing is diagnosing the same problem. It's just from a different angle. So think about it like this. In the matrix, that vertical axis, that's your attitude and awareness. That's what's going on inside of you. That's what you believe, what you actually want, how honest you're willing to be. That's where your vision and intention live. That's the inner world. Now, what you've got when you get to the horizontal axis, which is actions taken, what you're actually doing. The structures you've built, the accountability, the boundaries, the habits. That's where means live inside of Willard's teaching. So now put that together. If your vision is off, if your intention is divided, then it doesn't matter what how many means you stack up. You see? And this is why so many men feel stuck, because they're grinding on the horizontal axis, trying harder, doing more, but the vertical alignment hasn't happened yet. And once you see that, like, I mean, really see it, a whole lot of your story starts to make sense. So let me show you where most men actually live in this, because most guys don't start in the transformational quadrant, right? I mean, that's not where this where things begin in your recovery. They usually start off in one of two places. They're either trivial, where the problem still feels small or manageable, maybe even normal. It's, you know, you say things like, it's not a big deal, everybody struggles with this, I've got it under control. That's trivial. Or they're in the trapped quadrant. Now, this is a different guy. He knows it's a problem. He feels the weight of it. There's frustration, isolation, and likely even some shame. But consistent action, it's not there. Or, I mean, it's not there yet, or it doesn't hold. So he's aware, but he's stuck. Now, here's what happens next for a lot of men, especially motivated guys. They don't stay there. They move. And the most of the time, they move to the transactional quadrant. And on the surface, this looks like progress. And by the way, it can be. Transactional, as we'll talk about more and more all the time, is not a bad thing. It's just getting stuck there that's the problem. So that now there's action, there's structure, there's accountability, there's effort, lots of effort sometimes. But underneath all of that, something's still off. Something still isn't working. Why? Because the deeper connection hasn't happened yet. Vision hasn't fully taken form yet. Intention is still a little divided. And this is where a lot of sincere, good men stall out, because they're doing more than they've ever done before, but they're not experiencing the freedom they expected. And when you step back and look at it, the pattern shows up pretty clearly. While the matrix isn't linear, a lot of men do move from trivial to trapped to transactional and never quite make it to true transformation. So I remember I sat across from a man not long ago. He's sharp, disciplined, highly motivated, and he had multiple accountability partners, the top-tier filtering software, shout out to Covenant Eyes, weekly recovery meetings, daily Bible reading. On paper, this guy looked locked in, but every few months under pressure, he would still relapse. And what finally surfaced in our conversation was this honest admission. He said, I still don't know what else to do when I feel overwhelmed. There it is. All the means were in place, but the deeper vision and intention work was still underdeveloped. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't unserious. He was just out of alignment. And a lot of good men are living there right now. Now, I want to talk about the intention problem. Let's look at this real issue underneath all of this. And this is where Willard gets really, really direct. He says that people involved with pornography have, at some level, remember what I said earlier, decided to be there and have not decided not to be there. Man, that'll punch you in the throat if you let it. I mean, that is, those are hard words. Now, don't hear that wrong. He's not saying that you sat down one day and said, yep, this is the life I want. He's talking about something deeper than that. He's talking about the orientation of your heart. He's saying a lot of men are living in this place right here. I hate what this is. I hate what this is doing to me, but part of me still reaches for what it gives me. Can you relate to that? And that right there, that's the transactional quadrant. On the outside, you're resisting. You've got some structure. You're trying to fight. But underneath that, there's still part of you that hasn't let go. The permission structure is still hanging around. And as long as that's true, recovery is going to feel real unstable. You might stack up some good days together, maybe even some good weeks, but under pressure, it doesn't hold the way you hoped it would, because transformation doesn't happen until the internal line gets crossed, where a man stops managing it and actually decides he's done building his life around it. I remember one man, years into his struggle, finally said something that changed everything. He looked at me and said, I think I've been trying to manage this, not actually leave it. Whew, that is big. Because that kind of honesty moves a man vertically in the matrix. Awareness deepens. And when real awareness deepens, that alignment, that transformation begins. And from there, real change is possible. Now, hear me on this. Means matter. Remember, means is what you actually do to get there. And here's the key. Means are not about trying harder. They're about training wisely. Don't hear anything I'm saying and don't hear anything I'm saying and walk away thinking structure doesn't matter. It does. Structure does matter. Willard himself talked about openness with others and getting serious about avoiding the situations where you're vulnerable. So yeah, accountability matters. Filters matter. Structures matter. Transactions matter. Keep in mind that the transformational quadrant includes transactions. It's just different in that quadrant. When you couple the action with the awareness and attitude, you're now making those transactions or behavioral changes based on the man you are becoming in Christ, not just the man you don't want to be anymore. But here's where a lot of recovery plans start to fall apart. You can't fix at the means level what was formed at the vision level. Let me say that again, because this is where guys miss it. You cannot fix at the means level what was formed at the vision level. Again, vision is what you see as good and true. Intention, what you've decided you're going to pursue. And means, what you actually do to get there. So if you're trying to simply change your behavior, but the vision you have for your life is not centered around Christ, rather it's centered around being a good boy or towing the line until things smooth over with your wife, then you're going to go find yourself swimming against the current. Yes, you can do these things in tandem, meaning your behavior change should most definitely start immediately. But if you aren't realigning your vision, what you see as good and true, then you will constantly relapse. You can't outwork a misaligned heart. I want you to hear that again. You can't outwork a misaligned heart. You could stack up apps. You can build systems, you can check all the boxes, do all the push-ups, jump on the treadmill, get all the milestones, collect your chips, do all those things. But if what you believe about comfort, about escape, about God's goodness, about where you go when life gets heavy, if that stuff hasn't changed, then the whole thing stays vulnerable. Maybe more controlled, maybe more managed, but when pressure hits, it's still there. Because you didn't just build a habit, you built a way of living. So what does real transformation look like? What does real change actually look like? Willard pushes us way past behavior management. This isn't about becoming a guy who's really good at resisting. It's about becoming a man who, over time, doesn't even want what he used to want and what used to own him. That's different than that's a different level of freedom. That's the transformational quadrant. That's high awareness, clear intention, and actions that actually line up with who you're becoming. This is where a man's life starts getting rebuilt from the inside out. Not perfectly, not overnight, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be genuine. It's going to be sincere. And yeah, it takes time. There is no shortcut to transformation. It looks like renewing your mind, not just reading truth, but letting it actually reshape how you see God and yourself. It looks like training your desires, not just suppressing them, but redirecting them toward what's actually good. It looks like practicing disciplines, not as punishment, but as formation. It looks like real connection with God, with other men who know your story. And it means dealing with that stuff underneath, the stress, the loneliness, the pressure, the things porn has been medicating for years. But here's what I've seen again and again. Pornography doesn't hold up very well in a life that's actually alive. And Willard said something that's worth paying attention to. Ongoing involvement with pornography often points to some level of life impoverishment. Not always, but often enough that you'd be wise to stop and ask the question, where's my life thinner than it is supposed to be? Because that's usually where the work needs to happen. All right, so let's land this plane. When you step back and look at all of this, the picture gets pretty clear. Pornography isn't the core problem. It's the symptom. What's really going on is formation. For years, sometimes decades, a man's desires have been trained, his thinking shaped, and his habits built around a certain way of living. And then he tries to fix all of that at the behavioral level, try harder, do more, lock it down. But what Willard shows us and what the Matrix makes visible is that transformation doesn't happen that way. It happens when vision, intention, and means come into alignment. When a man begins to see clearly what is actually good, when he becomes honest about what he really intends, and when his actions start flowing out of who he's becoming, not just what he's trying to stop, that's when things start to change. Because the goal was never just to quit. The goal is to become the kind of man whose life is being shaped by truth, whose desires are being retrained, and who is no longer dependent on something that once defined him. And when that starts to happen, you're not just managing behavior anymore. You're actually being transformed. Well, hey, if you've been trying harder, feeling stuck, don't rush past what might actually be happening. You may not have an effort problem. You may have an alignment problem. Vision, intention, means. When those begin to come together under the transforming work of Christ, something in you will change. Men don't just behave differently. They begin slowly and steadily to become different men. And that, my friend, changes everything. Thanks for joining me on the Purity Podcast. I'd love to hear from you. You can always email us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. Thank you to Castamonia, who is the great sponsor for this podcast. I'm super grateful for the men in Castamonia and for George that makes it all happen. And remember, as you walk along this journey of recovery, you are not walking alone.